Welcome to Living Story, the podcast that helps you learn, live, and love God's story of grace and yours. I'm Elizabeth Turnage, writer, story coach, and teacher. Please be sure to check out elizabethturnage.com for more tools for living a gospel-centered story. Last month, we considered the true Bible story of two flawed women, one flawed man, and one amazingly gracious and faithful God. We remembered that God had a plan for a nation, a plan to redeem the world left broken by sinners. This plan would come through one baby, the baby of Sarah and Abraham. Abraham and Sarah have shown a lot of faith in leaving their homeland, Ur, and coming a long, long way. They've shown a lot of faith in trusting God to care for them and to fulfill His promise, but they've also stumbled a lot along the way. In the true story we looked at last month in Genesis 16, Sarah and Abraham decided to take things into their own hands and to try to get this promised baby through Sarah's maidservant, Hagar. That was a disaster. That was clearly not God's plan. Despite the fact that Abraham and Sarah keep making a mess of things, God continues to show them grace, faith, and love, the three words we talked about last month. Before we get into today's story, I want to talk about surprise for a moment. Have you ever been really and truly surprised? Maybe either gotten a really surprising gift or given a very surprising gift, or maybe had a surprise party or planned a surprise party? I once heard of a woman who planned a great surprise party for her 12-year-old daughter. She made this plan, she invited everyone, she told them all to keep it a secret. She worked for months planning this surprise. As the time got closer, she got decorations and she hid them at her neighbor's house. She went to her neighbor's house the day before and made a cake. On the day of the party, which was not the girl's birthday, her mom took her to the movies in the afternoon, and all of her friends and her neighbor got everything ready for the party. When the mom and the daughter walked into the house, everyone yelled, "Surprise!" But what happened next was not what the mom expected when she planned the party. Her daughter burst into tears. Her mom, my friend, was freaking out. She was afraid she had done something wrong. But then her daughter started laughing and smiling and jumping up and down. She was so happy and grateful to her mom and her friends that she had started crying. That is what surprise can do to us. It can affect our emotions intensely. Today, we're going to talk about how God is a surprising God. God hasn't kept this surprise a secret from Abraham and Sarah. From the beginning, He has told them He would bless them and give them a baby, that they would have as many descendants as there is sand in the seashore. What is surprising about God is how He keeps His promise even when they don't keep theirs. What is surprising about God is how gracious and faithful and loving He is to people who aren't always loving and obedient to Him. In fact, God is loving and gracious to them and us, even when we don't believe He will come through with His promise. God has been telling Abraham for a while that He's going to give him a baby, and He keeps giving him signs of His love. In Genesis 17:15, He repeated the promise, this time specifically saying it would be through Sarah that the baby would come. He said, "I will bless her and surely will give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." You know what Abraham did when he heard this? Listen to Genesis 17:18. He fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And then Abraham asked God if maybe Ishmael, remember Ishmael, the son of the disastrous plan? He asked God if maybe Ishmael could be that blessed son. Here's the thing. Rather than being surprised and delighted by God's promise, Abraham doubts. He is not laughing because he's happy. He's laughing because he thinks it is impossible. And I think that sometimes we are a lot like Abraham. This whole story that we're going to look at today makes us ask, how are we laughing? Are we laughing cynically, doubting, like, that ain't ever gonna happen? Or are we laughing nervously, you know, that awkward, ha ha ha, that would be cool if it happened, but it's probably not going to happen, so. Or are we laughing at the sheer hilarity, the stunning, shocking surprise that God has been that good to us and done something that impossible? You know what God's response was to Abraham laughing so hard he fell down? You guessed it. Surprising. He simply says, yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac. It's a joke. I mean, it's not a joke because God is completely serious. But you have to know that the name Isaac in Hebrew means he laughed. You know what? God laughs. That is, he doesn't take our cynical, doubting laughter too seriously because he is the God of surprising redemption. In the true story we're looking at today, God does something even more surprising. He shows up in person. Let's read Genesis 18, 1 through 15. The Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. "My lord," he said, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey." "All right," they said. "Do as you have said." So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, "Hurry! Get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread." Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and the roasted meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" the visitors asked. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son." Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, No, you did laugh. Let's look at some of the surprises in this story. First of all, there are surprise visitors. Abraham clearly isn't expecting anyone, but it was not too surprising in that world for travelers to stop in and stay because there was no Quality Inn. At first, it doesn't seem that Abraham recognizes that one of the three visitors is the Lord, even though we are told it is from the beginning in verse 1. But even so, Abraham treats the visitors with great honor and hurries. It's also kind of surprising that this 99-year-old man is running around in the heat getting Sarah to cook bread and his servants to prepare a calf. So we could say Abraham is happily surprised by his visitors. The second surprise in the story is that the surprise visitor is God. By verse 9, Abraham has to realize that this is the Lord, because the visitors ask, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And since her name has just been changed from Sarai to Sarah in Genesis chapter 17, by the Lord, that's something only the Lord would know. And in those days, God didn't just go around visiting people. So it is a big surprise that Abraham is visited by the Lord. The third surprise is Sarah's surprise. Sarah is eavesdropping. She's hiding behind the tent, listening to the conversation. Imagine her surprise when she hears her name mentioned. Imagine her surprise when she hears the promise, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son." The storyteller reminds us, in case we've forgotten, in verse 11, Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. Now Sarah was surprised, but what kind of surprise is it? She laughs to herself. Her response is similar to Abraham's in chapter 17. "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure?" She is afraid to imagine such a surprise. She doubts such a thing could be possible. Have you ever felt like Sarah? If so, then you will love the next surprise. The fourth surprise is that the Lord talks to Sarah through Abraham. Verse 13, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord?'" Remember, Sarah isn't in plain view, and Sarah said this to herself. So it's also surprising that God knows what she is thinking, unless you know that God knows everything. The fifth surprise is that the Lord talks to Sarah directly. And he is surprisingly gracious to her. Because after God says this to Abraham, she gets afraid and she lies, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh." Verse 15. Sarah lied to God, but he forgave her. And he fulfilled his promise to her. That is what our surprising God is like. And now we fast forward to 1 year later. In the meantime, Abraham has again, for the second time, tried to pass his wife off as his sister. So as you can see, what happens next is another example of God's surprising grace to people who have not done anything to earn it. Let's read Genesis 21. "The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah declared, "God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me." Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. Let's notice three things about this true story. First of all, how did it happen that Sarah and Abraham, who were too old and past the age of bearing children, how did it happen that they conceived a child? Verse 1 tells us, "The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised." The second thing to notice is, when did it happen? Verse 2, "At just the time God had said it would." So in a way, this is really not surprising, because God has said all along that he would bring an heir through Sarah and Abraham at the right time. The third thing to notice is, what was the effect of this child and who caused it? The effect was laughter, and God brought it. Verse 6. Sarah's response is similar to the overwhelmed response of my friend's daughter, except she doesn't cry first. Sarah is surprised, not the cynical, doubting kind of surprise, not the nervous, giggly kind of surprise. The overwhelmed awe, "That is amazing. Wow, I can't believe it's really true" kind of surprise that fills your heart and makes you want to laugh and cry and jump up and down and shout and tell the world, "I can't believe this happened to me." Abraham and Sarah named their baby Laughter because God had told them to. Just think, whenever they call Isaac's name, they will remember that they laughed at God's promise, doubting, disbelieving, kind of wanting to believe, but not really sure. And he had the last laugh because he came through. It is a surprising gift. The gift of God's grace, faithfulness, and love coming through to people who go in and out of believing his goodness. But it is not the last surprising baby born in the Bible, because this story points us forward to another, even more surprising, true story of a baby born in even more impossible circumstances. That baby is our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God promised would come to defeat all evil in Genesis 3:15. That baby is a fully human, fully divine baby, come to earth to call sinners to repentance. That baby grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man to live a perfect life and die a sacrificial death. That baby was the most surprising baby, the most surprising gift of a faithful God to people who aren't always so faithful. So as we wrap up this true story, let's just notice a few things about our surprisingly gracious God, our perfectly holy God, the great planner of the best surprises. First, we shouldn't be so surprised when God does impossible things. God asks a question we should all ask ourselves. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When we are in tough circumstances, we need to remember this question. Then we need to remember all of the ways God has been faithful in the past. We need to remember the surprising laughter of redemption in the Bible and in our own lives. We need to remember that Jesus has not only saved us from our sins, but he is changing our hearts. We need to remember that nothing can separate us from the love of the surprising God who is working all things for His glory and our good. The second thing we need to remember and notice is it is the best surprise ever that God is such a friend to sinners. He comes to visit Abraham as a friend. His being a good friend to Sarah and also visiting her, but doing it in a way she can handle. He's gentle with her in correcting her lie and gracious to fulfill His promise. That is what it means to be a friend to sinners. But even more surprising, Jesus was a friend to sinners. If you ever doubt that Jesus wants to be a friend to a person who has sinned like you, to a person who has messed up their life pretty bad, I dare you to read the Bible. I dare you to ask around, because Jesus came to be a friend to sinners and to give us a way back to being friends with God. In Romans 5:10, it says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son." So yes, God is full of surprises, and every single one of us should walk around all the time laughing hilariously, naming our kids and our dogs and our friends Isaac, because God has put so much surprising goodness in our lives by His grace, faithfulness, and love. Well, that concludes this month's Living Story podcast episode. Thank you for joining, and don't forget to check out ElizabethTurnage.com for more tools for living a gospel-centered story.